We'll open our Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 8. 2 Kings chapter 8, as you find your place there, please stand out of respect for the Word of God as we read verses 8 through 15. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse number 8. We're jumping into the middle of our historical account here, but let's just pick it up there in verse number 8. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. Now, the waters is the Jordan River, and the two that crossed were Elijah and Elisha. And I know as sure as I'm standing here, at some point during the message, I'm going to call Elijah, Elisha, and Elisha, Elijah. So if I do, just smile and pretend like I said it correctly, okay? But he takes his mantle, smites the waters. They split open, and they walk over on dry ground. Verse number 9, and it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they went on and talked, that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted thither, hither and thither, and Elijah went over. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Father, we thank you for your word. Bless us now as we spend just a few moments in it. May your spirit move in a mighty way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. I want to talk about a double portion. If you look in verse number 9, Elijah offered to do anything Elisha asked. Just before his homegoing, and he knew what was going to take place for him. Elijah, I believe, did. And Elisha had the audacity there at the end of verse number 9 to ask, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And so what Elisha is asking from Elijah is he's saying, let me take your place and let me have the Holy Spirit and a tremendous amount evident and the power of God obvious in my life as it was in your life. Elijah had, if you read through the Word of God, done many mighty miracles in the name of the Lord God, trying to call the people back from idolatry to worshiping the God of heaven, the God that brought them out of Egypt, the same God who would later on send His Son to die on the cross for their sins. Elisha wanted that power that Elijah had in order to go out and continue doing the work that Elijah had begun. Now, if we study the scriptures in question, did Elisha truly get that double portion? We find that we have twice as many miracles recorded about Elisha as we do about Elijah. And so we see that God allowed Elisha to have that double portion. Now we're going to deal with with this double portion if Dr. Whitlow's not able to make it back with us. But at least tonight we're going to look at why should we want a double portion. But this morning I want to just focus on what it is. What it is and how do we get it. What it is and how do we get it. What is this double portion? And as I said, it's nothing more than an evidence of the power of God in our lives. Now, if you want revival in your life, you cannot have revival without the evidence of the power of God in your life. It will be there. that may be evidenced in the conquering of sin in your life. You may have a besetting sin that has just troubled you for a long period of time, and you want that out of your life, and you're just having difficulty with that. Well, maybe this week is the week that God, through something that's said or something through an illustration at whoever's preaching, states, maybe something will give you the ability to finally conquer that sin. That's why it's imperative that you don't miss a service in our revival meeting, our missions revival this week. You want the power of God in order to conquer that sin. Sometimes it's evidence and just a willingness, a yieldedness on your part to do whatever it is God wants you to do. And we've got a lot of potential ministries here at Calvary Baptist Church. That's one of the things I just really love about our area is we have wide open doors in so many different areas. And I've been in churches where that hasn't been the case, where the hands are more or less tied as to what can happen and what can be done. But we just need people that are willing to take part in these ministries. Now, people who take part in ministries, and just let me make this very clear, because I know a lot of times we get excited about the possibility of doing something for God, but we need to get in tune with God's perfect will for our lives before we can take part in a ministry. And part of getting in tune with God's perfect life is getting in tune with that general will for all of us. And part of that is being in the services each week. Now, I mentioned in announcements we're going to have a nominating committee meeting. And we're not going to nominate people who aren't faithful to the services of the church. Because if you're not faithful to the services of the church, you're not faithful to God like you ought to be, and you ought not be in a position of leadership. And so that's point number one, not in my message, but in doing the will of God and having the power of God evident in your life. If you want revival, it's going to be evident. If you want a double portion, it's going to be evident, the power of God in your life. And so you'll yield to Him. And you'll conquer sin in your life. And you'll have the ability to share the gospel with others. Now, I know a lot of us feel like we're tongue-tied or our hands are tied and we just don't have that ability to do that. But if you have a double portion, the Holy Spirit is going to be evident in your life and you're going to have the mind of Christ. And when you see someone that you come in contact with, you're going to wonder, does that person know Christ as their Savior? Are they on the way to heaven or are they destined for the devil's hell should they die right now? Those thoughts will go through your mind. And then the next thought will be, well, how can I get the gospel to this person so that they have an opportunity to receive Christ? Because we have the mind of Christ and that's the way Christ thinks. He died for that soul. And even though He knows, we don't know what their eternal destiny is. But if you have the mind of Christ, it will be evident because you will be thinking those thoughts. And if you don't have a gospel tract, you're going to say, man, I wish I had a gospel tract to hand them. If you do have a gospel tract, you'll hand it to them. Now, it's up to them whether they receive it or not. But nevertheless, you're going to be burdened for their souls. We're talking about a double portion. And if you have it, it'll be evidence in the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. The power of God in your life. Now, how does one acquire it? This is where we come back to 2 Kings chapter 2. There's at least three things we need to do or that have to take place in order to acquire a double portion for God. And again, I'm not dwelling on why you should want it. We'll talk about that tonight. But how can you have a double portion of God's power, of God's Spirit in your life? First of all, it's just simply persistence. Persistence in wanting it. Look in verse number 2. Now, I know we didn't read that, but Elijah's about to take a trip. Elisha is his servant helping him. But in verse number 2, and Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And so his boss tells him, now you stay here because I've got to take a business trip. And notice Elisha's response. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. But look again in verse number 4. They're in Bethel. And Elijah says unto him, Elijah, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. In other words, stay here, because I've got a business trip down to Jericho. But notice again Elijah's response. As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. Well, they get down to Jericho. Look in verse number 6. Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he, Elijah, notice his response again. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they, too, went on. Elisha was not about to leave Elijah. He knew that Elijah's time was just about finished, and the persistence of Elijah to stay with Elijah in order to receive that double portion. Because he knew that if he didn't stay with Elijah, he would have no hope of the double portion. But Elijah was persistent in that desire. He wasn't one to give up easily. So often in our Christian lives, we want something from God and our spirits get stirred in a revival meeting or another church service, or we're reading the Word of God and God speaks to us and we get enthusiastic about something. But a couple days later, the same old, same old. That enthusiasm has left us. That desire is gone. It's maybe a whim back in the backer recesses of our mind. Backer recesses, is that the way to say it? But anyway, that's where it goes. And we no longer have that great desire for what God has spoken to us about. Elisha is teaching us that if we want a double portion of the power of God in our life, a double portion of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that we can't give up. It has to be a desire today and a desire just as strong tomorrow and a desire just as strong next week and a desire just as strong next month and a desire that never parts until that double portion is given. It'll never come if we're not persistent. The second requirement to acquiring the double portion is knowledge. Knowledge of what it takes to get it. Now, I believe Elisha possessed that knowledge. Now, we read how Elijah told Elisha, if you're with me, when I leave, you'll get it. But if you're not, you're going to miss out. But I think Elisha already understood that. Look down in verse number 3. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, notice this, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. Well, they go from Bethel to Jericho. Look in verse number 5. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. Elisha understood that Elijah was going to die that day, and that's why Elisha was unwilling to leave Elijah's side. Because he knew, as I said, that if he wasn't present when Elijah left this world, that the double portion would not be his. But he had such a desire for that double portion that he was persistent because of the knowledge that he had. Now, there's a certain amount of knowledge that we must understand and not just have it in our head, but drop it down 18 inches into our heart and then apply it into our life if you want the double portion of God in your life. And these are the same old things I've been saying all the time, and these are the same old things I'll continue to say, that if you want the power of God in your lives, you've got to be a student of this book. You've got to be a studier of the book, studying to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's why we offer the Bible Institute classes. That's why we have Sunday school. That's why we still have a Wednesday night service. So you can know this book. You've got to be faithful in studying and reading the Word of God. That's why I emphasize at the beginning of every year, read your Bible through this year. If it just becomes routine and like reading a newspaper, then read through on your Bible reading schedule and then add to it. Don't take away. That's the average response of the Christian if they're trying to read it through and it becomes mundane and just duty, they take it away. And they replace it with something very minute. And they'll shrink even more spiritually. Add to it. Be a student of God's Word. Be faithful in prayer. Now, these were already emphasized in the Sunday school hour. And again, if you missed out, you missed a tremendous lesson on the will of God. But God commands us to pray. What does the Bible tell us? Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is sin. To sin. And yet, if I were to ask you to raise your hands, how many of you believe that your prayer life is what it ought to be? Probably none of us would raise our hands. We all know we ought to pray more. Why don't we? Well, maybe if you desire strongly enough the double portion of God, then you'll, knowing that, be more persistent in your prayer life so that God will pour that power of the Holy Spirit in your life so that these things, such as conquering sin, such as winning souls to Christ, such as having a blessed service for God, because you want those things in your life, maybe that's what it'll take to drive you to your knees before the throne of grace on a regular basis. A third thing that we have in our knowledge, and these are things you all know, this is nothing new. I'm not smart enough to come up with anything new. Sorry, this is the best I have. And yet it's scriptural, and I believe this is the truth. If you want the double portion of God in your life, you must, because you know it, live a separated life. Separate from the world and separate from sin. Too many Christians look like the world, they talk like the world, they smell like the world, they go where the world goes, they do the things the world does, and their greatest idea of a vacation might be going to Las Vegas and hitting a jackpot somewhere. How spiritual is that? Going into sin city in order to gamble, which in itself is sin. Raise your standards. Live for God. Turn your back on the world. Live a separated Christian life. So many Christians refuse to leave the bars. Now you say, I don't go to a bar. Do they serve booze? A lot of bars disguise themselves as restaurants. But we're not willing to go eat somewhere else because we've got our hearts set on that restaurant and the food they offer, and there's none better in the whole world, and you know that's not the truth. We're just not willing to live separated. The question is, how badly do you want the power of God in your life? If you don't care, go ahead. But if you want the power of God, you need to get some standards and live a separated life, because the Bible makes it very clear. I've got a little pamphlet, 74 Bible reasons, and they're just Bible verses, why you need to stay away from the booze. Don't frequent those places. Separation. Dress standards. Boy, this is a big one because people get so offended. Don't tell me how to dress. Well, I'm not going to tell you how to dress, but God does, doesn't He? Ladies, you need to look at yourself the way a man would look at you. And that's why so many ladies make such mistakes in their dress, because they don't understand the way a man thinks. And so they think, well, this is fine, when it's not fine at all. My policy with my daughters, and I'm glad neither of them put me to the test, because I wouldn't have been comfortable with it. But here's what I told them, and this is concerning the necklines. I said, if I ran my finger down your neckline and you felt uncomfortable, then it's inappropriate. Because if I can touch it with my hands, I can see it with my eyes. Like I said, I'm glad neither of them put me to the test. But I think that's a good standard for you ladies. If a strange man came and ran his finger across your neckline and you felt uncomfortable, chances are it's inappropriate. Okay? We're not even talking about the length of a skirt. But God has dress standards. Are we willing to live separate? And I know the difficulties, because my daughters learned pretty quickly that it didn't take or wasn't worth it to go shopping without Dad. And I hate shopping. But they didn't shop for clothes without me because they didn't want to have to go take it back. It's less trouble to fight with me. Well, they didn't fight with me. They were good girls. But it's less problem to have to deal with Dad in the store over the clothes than it is to deal with Dad at home and then have to take it back. I'm talking about living a separated life because we desire the blessing of God in our lives and the power of God, the Holy Spirit given to us in a double portion, more than the average Christian ever experiences, because they're just not willing to do what it takes to get it. We've got to be persistent, persistently desiring, because we know that God expects certain things, Bible reading, prayer, and separation, faithfulness to church, and I've already talked about that, seeking the lost. We talked about that last week out of Matthew, that if we're not fishing, we're not following. Jesus said, follow me. And if we're following, he says, I will make you fishers of men. And a willingness to serve God wherever he calls. These are requirements. Requirements that God expects from us. Things we all know if we want that double portion. The third thing, the third requirement, the first is persistent in one's desire to want it. Second was knowledge of what it takes to get it and applying that knowledge. And then thirdly, out of verse number 10, endurance against all opposition. Look at verse number 10. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. There's going to be some obstacles. He says to Elijah, if you're there, when I'm taken from thee, it shall be unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. There's going to be some obstacles. Just like there's been obstacles in our missions revival this week, this morning already. I guess it started a little over a week ago when our speaker for tomorrow night indicated he probably wouldn't be able to make it. There's going to be oppositions. If you want that double portion, the devil's not going to sit back and say, well, be my guest. That's not the way he operates. He does not want you to have it. Just mark it down. The devil is your adversary, and he does not want you to have a double portion of God's power. He does not want you to rise above the level of the average Christian in the world today, powerless and impotent against his minions. But God wants you to have it. You ought to want to have it. And so when the opposition comes, then you ought to have the strength and the endurance to go ahead and fight through these issues that you might have in your life. So many people give up so easily. Because you know what our biggest obstacle is? Mine is standing right here behind the pulpit. Yours is seated not next to you. You're just seated right in your seat. We are our own worst enemy when it comes to the power of God in our lives. Because of the sinful desires of the flesh, we've got to learn to be able to say no to ourselves. We need to have that discipline to just simply live for God. Our second great opposition is the devil himself. Well, we don't deal with him. He has bigger fish to fry. But he has little minions that run around and cause havoc in our lives. Mark it down. You will have that adversary. You will have that opposition. And so just expect it. So when it comes, you're not surprised. And you don't give up and quit just because the road got a little bit bumpy and the road got a little bit difficult. Know it's coming from the start. And have a little endurance to follow through to the end of the path. The third major source of opposition is the allurement of the world. Boy, this gets so many Christians. More money is such a big factor in destroying so many Christians' lives. It really is. The overtime that takes them out of the church services and tires them out from being able to read the Word of God and falling asleep in their prayers, it destroys so many lives. Christian lives and the spiritual power that God desires to give them and that they themselves want, and yet the money allures them greater than the allurement for the power of God. We need to go to God and find out what God wants in all areas of our lives. Sometimes we need to plan our vacations differently. Our locations sometimes need to be chosen more wisely. Sometimes the times. I've said it before, and I know I'm kind of crazy, and I'm maybe, probably, well, undoubtedly not normal. But before I became a Christian, when I got vacation, I always took vacation during vacation Bible school, so I could be as active in Bible school as I could. I know that's crazy, but that's what I did. Because I just thought that was the right thing to do, because I loved God. And I wanted to see kids come to know Christ. And I wanted to see my church blessed. And I want that double portion that God offers me, just like Elisha wanted that double portion that God made available to him. And he wasn't going to let anything stop him, no matter how hard the situation. And he had people coming up to him saying that Elijah's going to die, so just don't waste your time. I'm wondering if that's the implication of those sons of the prophets and saying that to him. But he wasn't going to let anything stop him. He wasn't going to let anything slow him down. And folks, we get slowed down too easily. By our own selfishness, by allowing the devil to trip us up and the allurement of the world to distract us. Folks, the double portion is out there, available. God says you can have it. It's not just for the preachers. It's not just for the evangelists. Not just for the missionaries. It's for every Christian. Everyone who's named the name of Christ and taken them as their Savior. Do you want it? It all starts there. And if you want it, how badly do you want it? Will you meet the requirements and endure through the obstacles? Father, we thank you for your word that promises to us, first of all, the assurance of our salvation, eternal life. What a blessing that is to have. So few ever find it. Thank you that we were able to do so. If there's anyone here that doesn't have that assurance, Father, I pray that during the invitation they would just simply step out of their seat, come to the front, and allow us to show them out of your word, not our church doctrine, but simply out of the word of God, how they can have eternal life. And Father, for those of us that have that assurance, create within our hearts this morning a desire for the double portion of your power in our lives, that you might be glorified. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.